Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was, let's talk about it, Tuesday, church folk day. And we had a conversation about why Christian people, yes, some of the excuses Christian people have used for treating others badly. Yeah. Can you imagine their excuses? Well, how about we Christians are sinners too? Now, we got to talk about this one. I know it's not Let's Talk About It Tuesday, but we got to talk about this one. First of all, if I am a Christian, I am not a sinner. Not me. Now, I don't know those Christians who are talking, are speaking for themselves. They are Christians and sinners? No. Christian people can do some sinful things, but to declare yourself a sinner, nah. You know, they say, we're not perfect, and I'm only human, and that's some kind of the things they say. Yeah, that's what I said, some kind of the things they say. Yes, I said it, that's it. Yeah, so those are some of the things that they say, and I'm not declaring that I'm a sinner. So, you know, that's like the we fall down but we get up, you know, the same is just a sinner. No. Yeah, I'm going there this morning. So, you know, when you say we Christians are sinners too because you want to be looked at as you know, I'm just a human person, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm just forgiven. No! So, that's the best. That's for me. That's from the Lord's gift. So, yeah, that's what they said. So, that's one of the reasons why, you know, they treat people badly. Because they're just a sinner. Oh, what about, well, it ain't illegal. Oh, my goodness gracious. No, it may not be illegal, you know, as far as a criminal law. Like, nobody could take you to court over this thing. But it is illegal in God's book. You know, you're not supposed to purposely mistreat people and be unrepentant because it's not a civil law. Breaking it. No, but you're definitely breaking God's law. You know, love your neighbor as yourself and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. What else happened today? an I for an I and a 2 for a 2. Well, as Mariah so rightly reminds us, you can't repay evil for evil. No, we can't do stuff like that. You know, yes, the Bible does say an eye for an eye. But Jesus came and, you know, showed us a different way. And there are ways, you know, to step back and let the Lord fight your battle. Yes. Yes. Because vengeance is mine. So, you know, you ain't got no business out there talking about an eye for an eye and a 2 for 2 thing. All that kind of stuff. All right? And how about they're not Christian? Now, this one kind of threw me. Now, the other ones, you know, I've heard before. We're not Christian. I never heard before. But, I mean, the first one I never heard before. But this one here, they're not Christians, meaning that you only treat Christian people nice. No, 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 no. What's wrong with this world? Hell, I don't get it, y'all. Yeah, you know, there's no way in the world you're living by any level of biblical standards that say that we mistreat people who are not sinners. I mean, who are not Christians. We only mistreat the sinners. And that one there, that's a stretch. That's a stretch. Yeah. You know, it just stop. Just, you know, it's sad to think that you have an excuse for mistreating someone. Yeah, that's a little scary to me. You know, opposed to someone alerting you that, you know, you're being mean or rude, nasty, disrespectful, and you're saying, you know, well, you know, I didn't mean it, you know, that wasn't my intent. You know, that's one thing, to, you know, let someone know, you know, was not my intent to mistreat anyone. And I'm sorry. You know, what happened to being remorseful and repentant then? What happened? How are we making excuses? I tell you, the longer you live, the more nonsense you see and hear. Yeah. It's all over the place. And, you know, the longer you live, the less remorseful people are. Everything is justified. And what happened to I'm sorry? What happened to, you know, well, come on, let me go pray about that, or just dialoguing and helping someone to understand, you know, where you were. What happened to all that? I don't know. We're losing the essence of love with social media, texting. You know, there's no personal treatment first, and then, you know, loving someone else first, then loving it. No. You know, thinking about another person first, it's none of that. It's none of that anymore. It's all about, I have an excuse. I have reason why I do what I do. Yeah. We got to get this together. We got to get this together. You know, when I pulled up this list the other night, I looked at the first couple of things and I stopped purposely. Because I told you, I like to to have an authentic response. You know, I don't, I've seen enough. I've seen enough for the first few excuses that I could use and throw out to the D-Time crew, knowing that, you know, we could take just a couple of things and, you know, really just make a show of it by, you know, all by lonesome. We didn't even have to go through the entire list. So I had no idea of some of the other excuses. And as we went down the line, it just became, like, really clear to me that, you know, people just don't care. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about other people's feelings. They don't even care about their own feelings. Because if they did, they would really go before the Lord and just, you know, ask God to deal with them appropriately. So, you know, as we really went down the line, it was like, wow. So, you know, the D-Time crew, as always, you know, did a fine job with relaying, you know, what we need to be about, what we need to focus on, what we need to, you know, how we need to treat one another, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, these particular things and others. So, you know, go back, see if you've made an excuse. You know, sometimes you got to look in the mirror and see, you know, ask God, hey, you know, am I all right? Am I doing what you have given me to do? Am I behaving the way you need me to behave? Am I displaying godly love? You know, it's a lot to this Christian walk. You know, am I receiving the proper way? Yeah, it's not just cut and dry. Not just cut and dry by far. All right, so that's how we spent our yesterday moment. Amen. All righty now. So today is Wild Wednesday. And you know what we do on Wednesdays. It's Ladies' Day over here on the D-Time with Pastor Steph. And we're ready to get this party started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's D-Time with Pastor Steph. It's on. And don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease affects different people differently. First of all, we all deal with tobacco very differently. There's genetics that plays a role in when and if tobacco affects our breathing. Some people are lucky. They have the genetics where tobacco smoke doesn't affect their lungs, but about 15-20% of people who smoke, tobacco smoke affects their lungs. So that's one issue. The other issue is there's some people who their lung disease from tobacco comes a lot sooner, and they could have smoked just a little bit, you know, 10, 15 years and affect problems. Some people, it takes longer. There are certain genetic disorders that produce lung disease from smoking sooner. There's one disease called alpha-1 antitrypsin, which is a deficiency of a certain enzyme that helps protect our lungs. And so if that enzyme is lower, people are going to get COPD much sooner.
Good morning again. Welcome back to It's You Time with Pastor Steph, and I don't know what's going on this morning, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good, and I pray that you're feeling pretty good too. We're gonna celebrate this morning that God has been good to us. We are halfway through the week, and God has definitely blessed us with opening up our eyes, starting us on our way, and we get ready to hear from our girl Vivian, and she's got the socially conscious segment. Let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Vivian!
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I clearly am doing well this morning. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm not feeling my best, but I'm pressing my way.
Well, amen, amen. We pray that you feel better.
Thank you.
Good. What you got for us this morning?
All right. So, as I was looking for stories for this week, what seemed to be a trend was attacks, violence, and, of course, murders, which, sure, this could seem to be the norm. But then I came across an interesting article that kind of tied it all together, which brings us to our first story on It's Socially Conscious Today. And it says, reports say NYC is getting about 500 calls a day to 911 operators for problems involving emotionally disturbed people. We have been talking a lot about the increase of mentally ill people these days, and this is somewhat of a confirmation. They say efforts to bolster the city's emergency mental health response have slacked, according to reports. Of course, the impacts of the pandemic on both our individual and collective mental health have only heightened the need for help. When looking at the numbers of 911 calls involving emotionally disturbed people this year, they have seen an 8% hike so far, with the numbers around 131,200 calls over the fall, which is up from about 128,500 over the same stretch of time since 2021. Basically, the report was speaking on how there seems to be a lack when it comes to preparedness for the emotionally disturbed and mentally ill. It is calling on the city to divert more mental health emergency responses to train mental health and behavioral experts rather than having the police respond. It also talks about a program that we are supposed to have, which is called Be Heard, originally designed to do just that, which means, you know, having behavioral and mental health experts go out to these calls instead of having police go out to these calls, because of course police are not trained to deal with those types of people. They're just trained to go, you know, fix the situation, lock some people up, but they're not really dealing with the problem. And unfortunately, this problem is becoming more and more, you know, relevant and pertinent in these times. So yes, we are correct. There is an increase in the mentally ill and the emotionally disturbed people. But now what? So they're seeking some type of change from our officials. And, I mean, if we're looking at history, they're not really doing a good job when it comes to just the safety of the people. They got all these plans and programs going on with the subway system and with these people, and it just doesn't seem to be working. But now that they're paying more attention to these numbers and they're seeing that it is officially, you know, higher, maybe something will be done. And that brings us to our next story, which kind of fits in with the mentally disturbed and the mentally ill people. And it's a man who was sentenced to 10 years over a Queens parking spot dispute. They're saying Jaquan Adams, who is 29 years old, has been sentenced to 10 years behind bars after he threatened a driver over a parking spot. The victim said Adams walked up to him as he was inside a parked vehicle in Bellevue and Bayside. They argued and Adams pulled out a firearm and threatened to shoot him if he didn't move his car. So after he moved, Adams parked his Honda Civic while the man quickly dialed 911. Adams had left the scene before officers arrived and police found a loaded .38 caliber inside his vehicle in a bag under the hood of his Honda Civic. When they arrested him for a unrelated charge 2 weeks later from this incident. So he wound up getting arrested, but not for the reason that, you know, of this article. So it just shows that this man is definitely going through some things. And if that ain't mentally ill, you pulling out a gun on somebody over a parking spot. I mean, I know parking is sparse in New York, but is it that serious to be pulling out a gun? Next, we have an increase in hate crimes in the U.S. this year. There have already been 1,700 incidents targeting race, religion, and or sexual orientation, according to police. In fact, over the weekend, two men were arrested for allegedly threatening to shoot up a local synagogue and die doing so, officials said. The suspects were caught with a knife, guns, and Nazi armbands, according to authorities. They found out about this crime through social media posts. And they were able to stop them by following their social media posts and, you know, looking up certain words and keywords that led them to these men. And they were able to stop them before they actually got the chance to do anything. And they're saying that the U.S. has reported hate crimes have been on the rise in recent years, driven by factors ranging from a surge of anti-Asian sentiment during the COVID-19 pandemic, because, you know, in the beginning they were saying that that's where it all originated, and then for some reason, you know, I mean, for some reason everybody started going against the Asian community, and then we have the anti-blacks that reacted to the racial justice protests that broke out across America after the killing of George Floyd. So it's just a lot of things going on, and everybody is just responding to all of this with hate. So now we have a rise in hate crimes. We have a rise in the mentally ill. And it's just getting real crazy out here. Next, we have a Annapolis doctor who has been arrested and accused of sexually assaulting at least two of his patients while performing a medical procedure. They're saying Dr. Eric Andrews, who is 54, was arrested. Officers were called on October 24th to meet with a 51-year-old woman. She told authorities she had a consultation the day prior to her procedure with the doctor. He prescribed her some controlled substances, which was said to cause paranoia or suicidal thoughts. The reports state that the doctor instructed her to take it when she arrived for her appointment, adding that the procedure was going to be excruciatingly painful and it was it would take between 3 to 4 hours. According to the police report, the victim told officers she took the first pill as she was instructed when she got to her appointment. She added that the doctor was the only person present during the procedure. She told authorities that the doctor administered laughing gas to help with her so-called pain. Court documents showed that the victim told officers she wasn't in her right mind, but was aware of what was happening to her. She said that the doctor touched her private parts and was shaking her violently. After she asked what was going on, he removed his hands from her private parts and then used more laughing gas because, quote, she was in so much pain, end quote. And since this woman has come forward, other women have also come forward with allegations as well against this doctor. So he has been arrested, and he is facing 50 years in prison, I guess, for all the people that are coming forward. They know of at least two, but more people are coming forward now. And then lastly, moving on from all these crazy topics, with Turkey Day being tomorrow, doctors want to make one last ditch attack, one last ditch attempt to bring awareness to the rise in what they are calling the triple demic. So there's COVID, there's the flu, and now RSV, a common respiratory virus that is most prevalent in young children. And some quick tips on how to keep yourself and everyone healthy while chowing down tomorrow. Of course, going back to the basics, make sure you are washing your hands, keep your surfaces clean and disinfected, mask up, keep your gatherings small, stay home if you or anyone in your family is sick or has a fever to avoid spread, and lastly, if you plan on gathering for the holidays, try to ventilate the area by opening up windows, which will assist in reducing the spread of any illness. Reports say the number of travelers has hit pre-pandemic levels this year. Many people have, you know, bought tickets to fly out, are making plans to drive, take a train or a bus, however they're planning to get to their loved ones, but the numbers have definitely gone up this year compared to when the pandemic first started. But just remember that, you know, we're not out of the woods completely. Again, there's still COVID, there's the flu, and now there's RSV. So just don't get too relaxed, people. Make sure you're taking those precautions, you're washing your hands, and you're just keeping that in mind as you are enjoying, you know, your Thanksgiving gatherings. And now for our wow story of the week. Today's story of the bank robber who wrote his demand letter on the back of his birth certificate and threw the money out with his license and the birth certificate takes the cake. But we can add this wild story to the list of dumb criminals right along with him. Reports say a man using a walker robbed a downtown Fresno bank on Tuesday. Officers say the staff of the Wells Fargo Bank at Fresno Street contacted Fresno police at around 10:30 a.m. to report that a robbery had taken place. The clerk described the suspect as an elderly man with a walker who approached the counter and provided a demand note. The clerk gave the man around $200 with a tracking device and clothes, and the man left the bank with the money. He is 68 years old. He did not have a weapon on him at the time of the robbery. The suspect's name has not been officially released as of yet, but police say that the hidden tracker was used to locate him, and he was found only a short distance away from the bank and was later taken into custody. So he is 68 years old and can't barely walk without the walker, but he out here robbing banks. He didn't even have a getaway car. So he's 68, can't barely walk, and now you going to prison for $200. Y'all think Big Bubba gonna have mercy on him? I don't know, but this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you for your socially conscious segment. I just want to make sure I got some information from you. You gave a number earlier, and I missed it. Oh, my goodness gracious. you know what, I'll have to, you know, hang around. Please hang around so I can get any additional information from you. Please.
Okay.
Please. But thank you so much for the information that you gave. We pray you have a blessed day and have a happy Thanksgiving, Godspeed.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Thank you. Let's get to talking about our socially conscious segment with our lay days. Let's say good morning to Elder Nitesha. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning.
How are you over there?
I am good. I'm good. No complaints. Hanging out with my grandson.
All righty now. Well, maybe he can comment on the socially conscious segment. Give him hugs. Give him hugs, please. All righty. You know what? Let's, you pick one this morning outside of our wild story. What you want to talk about this morning?
I guess we could talk about the, oh wait, no, I think that's the wild story.
You got the 911 calls that have increased regarding the mentally ill people, emotionally mm-hmm. disturbed, excuse me. You have the man that's sentenced to 10 years after threatening the driver, another driver over a parking spot. You've got the fact that we've had an increase in hate crime. You've got the doctor that's been arrested, the 54-year-old doctor who has been arrested for, you know, drugging his patients and possibly sexually abusing them. And you've got the triple-demic issue that's on the rise, the RSV, the COVID, and the flu going on at the same time in the war. But what you got? What you got? What you want to talk about this morning?
You know, let's talk about the triple-demic because I think there are mixed messages. It really isn't clear now on what, you know, guidelines should be followed, and it is really allowing for this to happen. I had two very interesting discussions. One, yesterday, one of my coworkers, her entire family at this point has COVID, and for the husband who is a teacher, he had the flu. Well, he had the flu. He's able to still go and teach at the middle school with the flu. But her 10-year-old son, who has COVID, can't go to school for 5 days. And then when he does return, if he has no symptoms in 5 days, even if he does test positive, he can go to school, but he has to have a mask on. Like, it's just, it's so crazy. There's no direction now in regards to any of these things. And so people are really just feeling like, okay, oh, so is COVID over? But COVID's not over. People are still dying because the second conversation, I happened to go to a bakery, and this woman, you know, just, you know, people just start telling you their story. And she actually 6 months ago lost her husband of 20 years to COVID. She said they survived just staying inside. They didn't go outside or anything. He went to do a favor and fix someone's sink, got COVID, and died 6 months ago.
Wow. So this
is still a problem, and we really aren't – there are no guidelines around what should be happening. Because you see some people wear masks. You see others not wearing masks. If you have COVID, if you test positive, if you have no symptoms, you can still be around other people. It's just, it's crazy. And there aren't any guidelines.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I remember when the pandemic first hit, and one of the concerns was, okay, when we get to the end of the year, it's going to soar the numbers because we're hitting the flu epidemic, you know, during the winter months. And just like anticipated, it did. And like you said, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people have let their guard down. And I was in the supermarket the other day shopping, and almost no one had on a mask. And it is scary because, you know, people figure because the numbers are not as high as they used to be, you know, on regarding the death. Like you said, you know, now everybody's kind of walking around shrugging it off, and you know, the comparison to who can go to school, who can't, who can go to work, who can't, where you go, what you do. There is no guidance. There is no, you know, information that's really given now that you've hit this triple-demic, you know, this RSV. I've been hearing about it more and more. And really trying to find out what is it. I really haven't had an opportunity to, you know, get the information that I need or what needs to be done. And it is quite alarming. It is alarming. So, you know, as they said, you know, be careful. You know, still watch what you're doing. We can't, you know, completely let our guard down. And it's, you know, it's still out here. Like you said, it's still creeping. Can you imagine you surviving this and then you go do a favor and then you contract the virus and then you pass away? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She was devastated. She said, you know, she said, I still cry. And the reason why this came about is because she was looking around inside of this, it's a diner. You know how in the diners they have the bakery section. And so no one has on a mask. People are walking in, it's crowded in the front. She's the only one there with a mask on. And so she was questioning herself psychologically, saying to me, and that's how the conversation started, because she said, no one else has on a mask but me. Is this a part of my grief? Am I traumatized because of the fact that I just lost my husband? And I say, yeah.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, that is anything wrong with you because you're wearing a mask. You understand firsthand.
Right.
You suffered a great loss, you know, so.
Right. Right.
But it really is. It's confusing when you got people out here saying, "Well, am I crazy? Is this still a thing?
Right.
I just lost somebody, and no one has on a mask." Yeah.
Right. Like you said, you know, in her head, we survived the worst of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not gonna, you know, succumb to, you know, this virus now. Nobody's dying from it now, you know. So that would be traumatizing. I agree with you. That would be pretty traumatizing, and scary because now in the back of your head, you're thinking, you know, what will happen to you? What could potentially happen to you, your loved ones, people you know, in the event that they have their guard down and. Now they contract. Are we going to just breeze through this like nothing, you know, nothing happened? So, yeah, I agree with you. Anybody else would be traumatized too.
So bad
for her. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Elder Natisha. Let's say good morning to our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning and happy Wednesday to you, our ladies, and of course, never forgetting our listeners.
Amen. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. Thank you so much for joining us. Which topic do you want to talk about this morning?
I'm going to go with mental illness.
Okay.
And that kind of hits two stories, you know, when we're talking about mental illness. It's not as though, you know, you have a sign that says, I have mental illness. These people that have this issue, you know, as far as you know, in some instances, they could be your everyday person, you know, and for whatever reason, something sets them off, and then they go ballistic. I know in Al's neighborhood, there's this lady that has been living, I guess, on the streets for quite a while. Sometimes she's fine, and then after a while, she'll just start running down the street, just screaming, ah, like to the top of her lungs. And, you know, they have called the ambulance many, many times. And she'll be gone for maybe a week or so, and then they put her back out, and she goes back on the rampage. You know, I remember, you know, Al telling me one morning she had rang his bell, and she was standing in front of the bell. I don't know if you remember the opening to The Fresh Prince, where he does his head round and round in a circle. She just, that's what she was doing, you know. And in her instance, she's harmless. You know, she scares people that are not familiar with her. But, I mean, for somebody else, it's extreme, you know. And you can't tell, you know. And so my thing is, you have to have somebody who's equipped to handle this situation, because the police's response is just to stop the noise. You know, they don't know when they're looking at you that you have mental illness, you know, and there's no softness at that moment when you're spazzing out. You're holding a gun or a knife or whatever it is that you're holding, a hammer. You know, nowadays we've got people holding machetes, whatever it is they can get their hands on, toys, you know, just to hurt people. You know, stabbings, we keep hearing it every day. You know, somebody gets stabbed, somebody gets shot, and it's senseless. You know, like it just, to the average person, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you know, we were all here. You know, somebody got stabbed in a McDonald's. It's just, there is no hiding place. The church, you know, the workplace, the, you know, any place, the restaurant, the school, there is no place safe. And, you know, the only way to get that is to kind of almost get to the point where you catch it before it gets to that point. But it's so rampant until, it's like, okay, where do I go? If I go over here and I'm handling something that has to do with this crime, then there's something else on the subway. You get in the subway, and then there's something in somebody's home. You know, you're trying to take care of something in somebody's home, then you get another call someplace else. You know, it becomes more and more, you know, is it that they're not taking their medication? You know, is there something that we can do to head it off before it gets to this degree? And the answer to that is I really don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like, who left the gate open? That's exactly the way. I'm dead serious. It's like, who in the hell left the gate open? It's like all of a sudden, you know, it almost makes you think, like you said, everywhere you turn, this is what you're faced with. And it's almost like, has it always been this way, but we just never paid attention to it? Or who just left the gate open and they're like, okay, now everybody out, roaming, you know, in your next door neighbor, your plumber, your, you know, MTA, you know, work. It's like, where did these everybody just come from, like just all of a sudden? And, you know, when they say there's an increase in calls, we know that there has been, because when you hear certain stories, you know that has to be someone who is not mentally stable. So it does make, you know, you an EMT worker, a police officer these days, nah, it's amazing. And they do need to increase the presence of those who, you know, are trained to deal with the mentally disturbed and mentally ill people, however they're categorized, because they're not only a danger to others, they're a danger to themselves. So, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, you have the person in your neighborhood where she's stable for a little while, and then whatever sets her off now makes her unstable. So it's really... And it's your next door neighbor, and it's your family. It's people you know. you know. So it is very disturbing, very alarming.
In addition to that, it makes me think, like, with everything, like, it's, you know, in New York, the saying is, if you see something, say something, you know. And so a lot of times it could be the thing that, you know that Uncle Junebug ain't right. You knew when he said or he did such and such. So don't say anything. You know, he'll get himself together. Well, what happens if he doesn't get together? What if he doesn't get that act together? And the next thing you know, you're in the news that either he shot somebody or now he's dead. One of the two. You know, because you kept saying, oh, he does it all the time. You know, every now and then he shifts to the left and he shifts to the right. You know, and that comes with everything. Like, it's almost as if this world, you just don't do, you don't tell, you don't say anything, you know, and people are just now getting to the point where I'm angry about this, I'm angry about that, and now I'm looping everything because I'm angry about the gays, I'm angry about the blacks, I'm angry about the Asians, I'm angry about the Mexicans, I'm angry, and so now I act out. And so we're seeing it everywhere, it displayed everywhere. If you look, all you got to do is turn on the news and watch. In less than 5 minutes, I remember back in the day, you used to at least get a half an hour reprieve. You get nothing. As soon as you turn it on and you read those little under things that's going up under those words that are scrolling, they're telling you right there, there's mental illness. Every other sentence is some form of mental illness.
Absolutely. And that's the way it is when I pull up for news. As soon as I open up to get news stories, that's what happens. You know, that's all you see. And you see the pictures and you read the stories and it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it is. This is really something to be concerned about. And we got to stay prayerful because it is your family members. It is our family out there. Somebody you know out there. So yeah, it is real disturbing, very disturbing. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's say good morning to our Lady Nicole. Good morning, Lady Nicole.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. Glad to have you on with us this morning. How are you? You doing good over there? You ready for Turkey Day?
I am great, and I guess I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
All righty now. What are we talking about today? What story? Outside of our wow story of the morning, what news did Vivian bring this morning that you'd like to talk about?
I think I wanted to definitely just comment on the mental illness. We've talked about that a little bit. And then we spoke also about, what was the other story that we talked about?
You have the driver who threatened the other driver over a parking spot with a loaded 38. You have the increase in hate crimes. You have the doctor who was arrested for possibly sexually assaulting his patient. And you, those are the stories that are left.
Okay. So, yeah, just the mental illness, I think, and then the increase on the hate crimes, I'm just like, my God, you know, what is it that we can do? I know we said, you know, definitely having people that are trained get out there, but, and because the police aren't trained for it, you know, but there is, when we look, it seems to be in some places like a shortage of workers in so many places. I'm sure that people that are in the mental health industry are probably inundated with clients, with work. And I know that a while back I hear that to get counseling, like there's a waiting list. You know, it's so crazy. I just feel like, and, you know, maybe this is just corny, but if us as people, period, globally, could just learn to be a little more friendly. Maybe even just saying hi, even though, you know, the media may be putting out there, you know, you got to be on your lookout, you know, they're going to kill you on the subway, and I'm being extreme, but then again, maybe I'm not because it's really happening, but you know, it seems like it's so much fear, like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't want to get on the subway. I want to take my daughter there. Somebody might try to hurt me. But at the same time, I feel like, of course, with the pandemic being here, and I feel like it's a real trigger for people that, you know, are struggling with mental issues. But think about that. It's because they can't be around people. You are, you know, taken away. We are all built to be in community. Everybody, it's just a basic human need to want to be loved, want to be needed. So maybe if us as people could be, and I'm not talking about friendlier in the case where it's unsafe, but being, having a pleasant look on our face, saying hi to somebody, sometimes that could literally save a life. You know, you've heard stories on somebody's like, you know what, I was going to go home and kill myself, but somebody at my job said hi. You know what I mean? So, and I know in some places are less friendly than others, but I think us as people, of course, on top of, yes, we need the help with trained professionals, people that know how to do it, but remember, they are inundated. They probably having some mental issues themselves of having so much work. So that's my thoughts on it.
Well, I don't think, you know, from a Christian standpoint, I don't think it's corny at all. I think that we do have a, you know, responsibility within the community to help as much as possible. And if it does mean a smile on our face or a good morning, that, you know, it may make the difference. And we've heard tons of times the instance that you brought up where someone said, I was on my way to kill myself. I cleaned out my locker because I wasn't going to return. But because someone, you know, said good morning or someone smiled or whatever the situation is, you know, that changed everything for me. And now it's 4 years later. Now it's 10 years later. I don't think it's corny. I do think that we make the difference. There was a young lady in the church quite a few years ago who she said, you know, well, when I come out the building, if I don't want to smile, do I have to smile? And I was like, yes. Yeah, we do. We can't look like everyone else. We can't act like everyone else. Where's the distinction, Lady Nicole, between us and them? And regardless of who the them is, if we behave the same way, and we do have to, you know, show that difference. So it does, you know, make a difference how we act. So, no, I wouldn't say it's corny. I would agree. I would definitely agree.
We are called to be salt and light, and you are right. You know, what does salt do? It brings out the flavor in everything. What does light do? It gives illumination. It shines. And, yeah, we're supposed to do that. That's who we're called to be. So, yeah, you're right. I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was like, well, is how much of God is in you when you can't even come out the building and smile? You starting off the day like that? I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. So, you know, we do have to, you know, remind, you know, one another that, you know, hey, we do, you know, serve a God who is great. And if he does nothing but put a smile on my face in the morning, that might be the illumination, Lady Nicole, that, you know, you talk about right now, that light, that brightness. So, you know, everybody who's listening, you know, put that smile on your face. You don't know how that might turn someone's demeanor around or just their entire world. You know, sometimes you do something and it makes it worse. Well, we can't think on that level. So come on, smile, smile, and smile. All righty, ladies, we're talking about that wow story this morning of the man who is 68 years old using a walker who robbed the Fresno bank and the clerk who gave him $200 plus a tracking device without a weapon. You know, he robbed the bank and, you know, later got caught. He didn't have a getaway car, as Vivian pointed out. But is this a sign of I'm tired and I'm willing to do anything to maybe get some type of a rest? I don't know. Lady Tamika, we'll start with you.
So no getaway car, nobody, I mean, no accessory. Somebody, you know, could have, even if you couldn't drive, you know, you could have had somebody go with you. You walked up to the bank with your walker, you know, and if you ask me, the lady probably felt sorry for you. You know, when she gave you the little $200, she wasn't threatened, you know, and the tracking device. So she was smart. She was wise, you know, and you didn't. $200 is not. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory. So I'm getting everything that the bank has. You know, they shut the bank down. They can't service nobody because I got that type of money, you know. But, I mean, what do you do at that age? This is what you do to get resources. I understand that when you get toward a certain age, all you get is Social Security. But I'm clueless as to what it is or why you decided this. To me, it's like, you know, it's over for me. There's nothing else. You know, I've done everything that I wanted to do. That's it. You know, just that's the only thing that makes sense to me, because the average person doesn't think like that. They don't do that. You walked in with your watch. Even if you had gotten away with something, you're not running anywhere. Wait. Okay. You're not getting anywhere fast. Not with a walker. And you can't walk without it. No. I mean, you know, you can't even be like, I'm trying to think, the movie, The Usual Suspects. You know, the guy act like he was handicapped throughout the majority of the movie, and all of a sudden towards the end, he's walking like a normal person. You don't even have that at your advantage. You have nothing, no car, no accessory, a walker. You wouldn't go into where, you wouldn't go nowhere fast. And now the rest of your life, you're ending up in jail, most likely. Not wise.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why my head goes to a certain area. Lady Nicole, you know, you ain't moving too fast, but you're robbing a bank. What goes through your head?
My question is, what was going through his head? I mean, I would, you know, when we hear the stories, you just wonder, like, for real? What happened? I mean, was there mental illness there? Was you just, I feel like, I think someone said, yeah, you just tired. He's like, you know what, forget this. I'm just about to do something so I can go to jail. I need to get around some people just to be, I'm done with my life. At that age, what happened? What was going on? I mean, you can't walk well. I mean, literally, somebody at the bank, all they had to do was probably just take your walker. You probably wouldn't even be able to get away. You know, like... I mean, literally, I'm like, wow, like, is this for real? Did this really, really happen? Are y'all playing a joke? For real? People having banks and you're not even physically able? I don't understand. I would love to know what was going on with the guy. Was it a short phase of dementia? You went through something. This was what you used to do when you were younger, and you reverted back. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a hard time just really understanding what happened. I don't know. Who does that? I feel like, you know, they have that show with World's Dumbest Criminal, and I think about there was a – I remember seeing on TV this guy was running from the police at night, but he had light-up shoes on. You know, it's kind of like that. It's like that. Like he needs to go on the show, The World's Dumbest Criminal. He would be. It would fit. Yeah.
He said,
"I don't get
light
it."
Shoes on. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
What people doing.
Wow. 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 Oh my goodness gracious, Elder Tisha. Is this just a sign of the times?
You know, we've heard these stories about our elderly, and I think that it is so sad because we hear stories of them having to resort to eating cat food and different things of that nature when they've not prepared, right, for retirement and their future, when you don't have family. Because what drives a 68-year-old, right? I mean, boredom? But what drives a 68-year-old to, you know, not really even have a plan? You know, to go out and do this, you know, unless you're hungry and you're trying to figure out how do I survive, you know, and your body doesn't allow for you to be able to go out here and work every day. So you said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go and rob this bank in order to try to take care of my basic needs, you know. But it is sad to get to a point where you are driven to that sort of desperation. But this is why, and this is the beauty in community. And we don't talk about community anymore, right? Like our faith-based communities, our churches, and things of that nature, you know, besides the fact that, you know, we don't go to church just for that. It really is about our dedication to God. But I think the other beauty of that is that we do have community. This man would have been able to go to his church community and be able to share that, listen, I'm struggling and, you know, I'm in need of help. I think also, there are so many, like, there's pantries, like, there's just, I don't know, because there's so much, there's places where he could have gone to get help, if, you know what I'm saying, if it was just about help. So, I mean, I think, you know, to Sister Nicole's point, there had to be some mental illness involved here somewhere, because why was that the place that you resorted to, unless you lived a life of crime?
Right,
and
right,
then you got 68, right?
Right?
And you couldn't do it as frequently anymore. But the old thing is still in you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it had to be something bigger than, you know, I need help. Because if we think about it, if you're 68 years old, you had to be living pretty much in the same place for a while. So your local grocer knows you. You know, your cleaners knows you. You know, the place we normally frequent, they know us. You know, they know your face. And, you know, as you ladies were talking, I said to myself, he couldn't even open the door for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wait for somebody to open up the door. Because when you have a walker, you ain't moving. So you got both hands on the walker, so someone pretty much has to open up the door for you. So, you know, again, you know, what was the deal? You know, what was your plan? What was the issue that drove you? It sounds to me like he just gave up. Like, you know what, I'm just tired. And you know what, if I go inside, they have, if it's a bank, it's fed. So you ain't going to write like that and staying there, you know, or a rifle, you're going to a federal prison, and they're going to have the little place on the side, the little unit for the elderly. So, hey, I'm almost gone, so I might as well go ahead and go up in there, and, you know, I'll be all right until God closes my eyes. So to me, it's just sounded like he just gave up because, like you lady said, help, you know, there's definite, you know, ways of getting help. And especially since the pandemic, you know, they're just giving away a lot of things. And although it's, you know, it's not, you know, complete freedom, but it's definitely different than years ago, you know, aid and things like that. So we just have to pray for our elderly that, you know, get to this point for whatever the reason is, they need to, you know, resort to just doing these kind of things. So, ladies, thank you so much for indulging me in our socially conscious conversation. You know, on Sunday, God gave the prayer topic of gratitude, and you know, it's really
I think one of you talked, kind of said it this morning, you know, there's just this lack, I think it was you, Elder Night Teacher, just this lack of a lot of different things going on in this world. Well, we do know that there's a lack of gratitude, and, you know, we pray that that is on the horizon. There's an increase in that. And well, I talked today, this morning, about, you know, ways to show your gratitude, ways to show gratitude. And give out compliments is one of the ways we can show gratitude, Elder Natisha. Let's start with you.
I think compliments are beautiful. You know, it's a way to show gratitude. It's a way to empower and to uplift. And I think the power of a compliment is that you really have to take a moment to consider, right, that a compliment isn't just something that you could just, you know, kind of pull out of nowhere. You would have to at least look at the person, right, in order
right.
to have that compliment. So it's a way for, you know, you to even just make sure that your heart is in the right place by looking at another person, helping them to feel seen, really taking moments and opportunities to look around you. And I think that is the birthing place for gratitude. It's when we stop and when we manage our focus to be able to identify so many of the great things, the great people, the beauty that's around us. And it allows you to offer compliments because it comes from just a pure place, I think. Compliments come from a pure place. Not all of them. Some of them, you know. But
yeah.
For the most part, they come from a pure place.
All right. Oh, Lady Tamika, you know, something as small as giving a compliment to someone really displays a level of gratitude. Why? How?
I think it allows us to take a second and say, you know, you don't have to give somebody a million-dollar gift. Sometimes you never know. Something as simple as a compliment can turn somebody else's life around. And it's a way of saying, you know, I appreciate that God allowed you to be able to present that one thing, you know, with the way that this world is set up, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we can pull each other down about. And so to look across, to look above, to look around and say, you know, sis, you look beautiful today, you know, and literally just let it go at that, you know. I remember an instance where there was a lady that I was looking at and her hair was like different. And I was like, oh, you know, I stopped what I was doing in the middle of everything. And it takes another thing. That's the other thing, to take a step back and actually audibly acknowledge the beauty that you see. It takes a moment for you to do so. I just happened to look at her. I looked at her hairstyle, and I was like, you know, that's a really unique hairstyle. I said, it really brings out the beauty in you. I said, you are so beautiful. And she kind of like blushed and looked down, and then I saw like a solitary tear come out of her eye. I didn't know what was going on. And her father paid for my meal. Not knowing that girl had gone through so much. She was, the reason why her hair looked that way was because she was having chemo done, and it had reduced some of the luster in her hair, but I saw her as beautiful. And something as simple as that changed that girl's life. And, you know, I haven't seen them since then, but, you know, you never know when that one thing that you said, you know, can turn somebody's life around. It was mentioned earlier, you know, good morning, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, those type of things. Something as simple as that can stop somebody from being destructive and turn an entire life around.
All right. Oh, Lady Nicole, that compliment, how does that show gratitude?
Complimenting somebody shows gratitude by literally when you receive a compliment, it can change your brain. Literally, you know, when
you tell somebody something good, it the brain releases some of those feel good chemicals, and it literally can change it. And then physically you change it because you're putting a smile on their face, and it goes back to when somebody has a nice, pleasant look on their face and you look at somebody else, it's contagious. You know, we talk about even in the Bible how laughter is good. So when you are saying something nice and you're making somebody else smile or feel good about themselves, they can do the same thing to somebody and for somebody else. So it's all around. It's good mental. It's good spiritual. It's good physical. It's good emotionally. So it literally could change a whole person's composition of their body and their brain.
Amen, ladies. Amen. Amen. How about they say give a detailed example of appreciation? Lady Tamika, what are we talking about here?
Detailed example of appreciation. I would say, you know, in your own household, there are things that you can do, especially, you know, and I'd like to take this situation, you know, a youth, you know, you don't have a whole lot of money, you know, you live with mom and, you know, you just want to be able to let her know, mom, I really appreciate you, you know, wash the dishes, you know, or prepare a meal, you know, you don't have to, again, there are so many different ways that you can show appreciation without having to get $1 million gift. You know, what is it that mom likes? What is it that dad likes? You know, what is it that a sibling would like? What is it, the one thing that lightens their heart? You know, something simple. It doesn't have to be extravagant, you know, and do that one thing so that they know, you know, you don't even have to always verbalize it. You know, sometimes just doing the act itself, you know, for my mother, it was, you know, coming downstairs to a clean home. You know, she came downstairs and the kitchen was clean. Her day was made for the whole entire day. So, you know, those things, you know, they matter to people. You know, find out what it is that they like, that they appreciate, what makes their heart smile, and do it.
All right. I'm loving this stuff, ladies. I'm loving this stuff. Give a detailed example of appreciation, Lady Nicole. What are we doing?
I love that. I think about my husband, who is basically kind of the same all across the board and everything. If he's mad, if he's happy, if he's frustrated, he's just the same, you know. So to know him and to know the things that he likes, I think you know, one of the things that he enjoys is being with family when we are all together, you know. So I try, and as much as I can, have us, you know, make dinner, make it at a certain time. I'll tell the kids in advance, listen, don't eat. We're having dinner. Don't ruin your appetite. We're going to sit down at, you know, 7 o'clock and have dinner, everybody. So be ready. Get your homework done. Do what you need to do and come on down and just us together. As a family, you know, no phones, and it's a hard thing. Everybody turn your phone off. We're not going to, you know, be on the TV. Let's just have a conversation among us. And I think that is one of the things that of me showing appreciation to all of my family.
All right. Nice examples, Lee. Nice examples. Give a detailed example of appreciation, Elder Nitesha. What are we talking about? What does that look like?
I mean, I think in its truest form, right, to show appreciation is to say that you've gained value over time, right? That over time, I appreciate you more and more and more. You continue to increase in value in my life. And I think it's the difference between saying, hey, you're doing a great job, and then giving somebody a raise, right? Like, I can stop there and say, hey, you're doing a great job, and you can feel good about yourself and everything, but a detailed example of that appreciation is the action that goes along with the words, And I think that's what makes it detailed, is that it is specific to the individual. It is something that they are going to receive. Not everyone, you know, wants recognition. Some people want to be acknowledged and being able to identify the difference between the two, between what recognition is and what acknowledgement is, and being able to meet that person there. I would say, for me, it's how excited I get about the holidays. You know, my appreciation for my family is that I am in here already prepping and preparing all of the food and things of that nature that I'm going to make for tomorrow. It's decorating the house and setting the tables and making sure I got logs for the fireplace, and just like doing all of those things to show that I love my family. I appreciate you all. I'm excited about your presence here, and I'm excited that we get to do this again another year. And so their detailed appreciation to me is showing up. It's being here to receive all of the joy and happiness that I want to give. So I think that's what it looks like.
Amen. I like this. A volunteer for unpleasant acts. Oh, Lady Nicole, that's a way of showing gratitude.
You're saying what? You want me to say again? Give another example of showing gratitude?
Volunteer for unpleasant tasks.
Volunteer for unpleasant tasks. Yeah, I think that is definitely a way of showing gratitude, for sure. When you do something that you don't want to do, I mean, but, you know, being, I'm going to just say, a parent. There are a lot of things you don't want to do for your kids, but you do it anyway because you love them, right? And, you know, that's definitely a show of gratitude, definitely.
All righty, all right. Elgin Aitisha, volunteer for those unpleasant tasks. That's a way of showing gratitude.
Absolutely, because it's selfless. You know, that's a way of showing gratitude because it's not about me. It really is about the other person. It's unpleasant to me, right? But if it's going to help you, if it's going to be beneficial to you, if it's going to enhance your life in any way, right? Cleaning this house is not necessarily joyous, you know. But you do it, you know, because of the fact that it's beneficial. It is beneficial to me as well. It's beneficial to everyone who lives here. But that's what it is. It's the fact that it's selfless. Doing that task is not about me. It is literally for me to show up somebody else.
Lady Tamika, what are we talking about? Volunteer for unpleasant tasks. There are all kinds of ways that you can do things in that realm, you know, especially when we're talking about our households. You know, one of the things that I really don't like to do, I don't like to wash clothes. I don't like to mop, and I don't like cleaning it. I hate cleaning the toilet, you know. But it is something, especially when you live in a home with other people. You know, it's my thing of not necessarily lowering myself, but letting you know that I appreciate you. You know, I want us in a living environment to have a nice, clean home. You know, and even not necessarily just in your home. You know, there are things that you can do in your neighborhood, picking up trash. You know, I'm sure nobody wants to pick up somebody else. I didn't put it down here, so why do I have to pick it up? You know, when you go into a store, you go into, we buy things all the time. You know, you go into a store, you see something laying on the floor. I didn't put that down there. I don't need to pick it up. Yeah, why not? You know, what it lets the owner know. It lets the people, even if nobody else ever sees it, you know, I acknowledge, you know, this is supposed to be this way. I respect you. In doing that, I am respecting you. I'm showing you respect, and I'm showing you my appreciation, you know, because this is a place that I patron. I patronage. So therefore, you know, I appreciate what you have to offer. And with that, I'm showing you in the act that I'm doing. Something as simple as picking that up off of the ground, picking it up off the floor, honors them and shows them, hey, I'm grateful. I'm appreciative for what you have to offer. And you mean, you know, you matter to me.
All righty. Elder and Aitisha, they say just give a hug. That shows gratitude.
And when we say just give a hug, we're not talking about that church hug, right, to the side. I'm talking about that patty, that little, that to the high, that to the side with your body all the way out, and that you pat the back with three fingers. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a warm embrace, because a great hug is healing. Oh, my gosh. There have been so many seasons in my life where, you know, someone just looked at me and knew that I needed a hug. And, you'll collapse, just break down crying in someone's arm, because you just want to feel loved and seen. You want somebody to know. Like, sometimes people are not going to walk around talking about everything that they have going on in their lives. People, you know, we're out here trying to be strong soldiers for the Lord. And so, you know, it may not be that, you know, we're going to just tell everything. But if you can see on a person's face that they just need a warm embrace to know that everything's going to be okay, it is healing. It's healing for their soul. And in that moment, it doesn't change the situation, but it certainly does allow for the situation to be that much, to give them strength to keep going on. It gives them a moment of reprieve to say, whew, okay, thank you for that hug. Thank you for allowing me to feel seen. And allowing me to just have this moment. I needed that. And now I think I can continue on, you know? So, no, there's power in a warm embrace.
Amen. Lady Tamika, just be there shows gratitude.
Yeah, that's important. You know, I have someone that I know who's dear to me, and it's funny because he's not always constant. You know, in that he's not always there. However, whenever I have ever like really needed someone to talk to, or you know, there was a situation and I'm like, you know, I just need to vent. You know, he is that type of person. And I think that, you know, it's beautiful to be there. You know, you don't necessarily, not even, you know, to do anything, just to know that if I call you, you know, or if I have a moment, you know, can I just be me? Can I take off the wig? Can I be real with you for a minute? You know, and then I can, it allows somebody to reset, knowing that you're there. I mean, we understand that we have life and situations transpire, you know, but when I really need you, you know, it's beautiful that to know that if I extend my arm, I don't have to go so far because I know you're there.
All righty. Lady Nicole, we're talking about ways to show gratitude, and there's a suggestion. Show off their gifts. That's a way you can show gratitude.
Yes, show off their gift. I think that's definitely you are building up another person by literally just, you know, telling them
what they're good at and what they're gifted at, and letting them know how much you appreciate it, and telling them that, you listen, you are making anybody you encounter and come in contact with better for expressing your gift. You know, I try to do that. My son recently started taking piano lessons, and you know, I'm not a singer, but, you know, he'll play a song and I'm singing, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you make me feel like I can sing just because of the way you're playing. And, you know, he puts a smile on his face, you know, every time. You can just see him light up. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a people builder, and that's great. That's good.
All righty, all righty. Elder and Aitisha, share their joy. How you can be show gratitude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nothing like somebody who you can go and share great news with, and they get just as excited about it as you do, because that expresses that you want the best for me. You are excited about, you know, seeing progress in my life. You are excited about, you know, the things that I'm excited about. If I get great news and it brings me joy, and it brings you joy when I share it with you, if that's a sign of a good friend too, right? Like a sign of someone who, again, really just has your best interest at heart. And so not only does it bring you joy, but it brings that person joy, and you're able to just kind of be together in that joy. And it's I think, also empowering. And that's the stuff that really does brighten up life. How much fun would it be if all of these great things happened in your life, but you had no one to share it with? You know, like, it's that togetherness. It's the beauty of camaraderie. It's the beauty of community. It's the beauty of, you know, friendship, of being able to just share life. And so being able to share joy is an extension of sharing life.
All righty, all righty. Okay, Lady Tamika, be patient. Be patient. That's your way of showing gratitude.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not always the easiest thing to do, is to be patient. You know, sometimes situations transpire and you want to go off. You want to bounce off the wall. You just want to scream to the top of your lungs. But it takes a true skill to sit there and listen to whatever it is that's going on and take it all in. And then at that point, you know, to respond in kind, not necessarily to spaz out, but to hear the person for what's going on. Or even with the situation, you know, you're dealing with someone who has a, let's say, an inability. You know, sometimes you lose your patience. You know, they're not moving as fast as you want them to move. They're not getting it done as fast. But just taking the time out to see what the situation is, assess it, and then respond in kind helps you from losing it, you know, in the end. You know, and of course, you utilize God for all of that, so that your actions don't, you know, flare up after seeing or being a part of what's happening.
All righty, all righty, all righty. Good stuff, ladies, good stuff. Lady Nicole, they say a way to show gratitude is to give them some thoughtful gifts. Give away thoughtful gifts.
I love that idea. Definitely for me, I love to definitely get thoughtful gifts, but I definitely like to put a lot of thought into gifts as well. for my daughter on Christmas, for Christmas, you know, December 1st, she gets this Advent calendar, and so gives her, you know, helps her count down the days till Christmas, because she is one that will literally say, Mom, is it Christmas yet? How about today? Like every day, I would get multiple. How about today? How many more days? So, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of little kids, they have all kind of things. So, it's in the shape of a pine tree, and it has little boxes. So on each day, I'm putting a note in there. It might be just, you know, if you
want this gift, I give her a little gift. It could be a piece of bubble gum. It could be a dollar. It would be something. I will put something for rhyming. So I'll put, if you want this gift so bad, go see the one who you call, and she's got to come up with the rhyming word to figure it out. So it's helping her educationally, you know, and then sometimes she's got to run around the house. So I'm all for it. And obviously, to be able to give a thoughtful gift, you have to know someone. You have to have spend some time with them. You got to know what they like. And for me, a lot of times, it's not so much the amount of money that you spend, but it's you knowing me. I'm a practical person, you know. So when you know that person, you can take the time and put the thought in and give them the gift. And hopefully they'll be wise enough to show gratitude to you for the gift that you've given to them.
Amen, amen, amen. I like that. I like that. I like that. Elder Nitesha, write small handwritten notes of thanks. That's how you can show gratitude.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about that a lot at work when, you know, talking about how to thank our volunteers. And it's because it's just, it's thoughtful, right? It isn't something that you just picked up, you know, a card and just signed it. It requires you to take time and put effort into what it is that you're writing. And I think, you know, that's why it's so special. And that's really a form of gratitude because I'm taking time. And I think time is something that when a person spends time on you, that is the highest form, in my opinion, the highest form of appreciation, because time is very expensive. You know, it is not something that we want to waste. So if I'm going to sit down and write a card and write you a note, oh, yes, I was thinking about you. I am appreciative of what you've done, who you are, the role you've played, whatever, you know, it is. Definitely, that is a show of gratitude because it's the usage of effort and time. It's personal.
Wow, you ladies are giving some excellent, excellent, excellent support to these suggestions. Lady Tamika, they say, handwrite a thinking of you letter. Gratitude?
Yeah, I've mentioned this many times before. You never know when that one letter will change everything. I've often verbalized, my mother's no longer living, and she was good for either if it wasn't a note, it was a letter, you know, it was a this, it was a that, you know, and it wasn't major things. It was just little trinkets, you know, things like that. And, you know, even today with her being gone, I open up a letter, you know, I might be cleaning up or something and find, you know, a letter and of course, or a card, and it makes me laugh, it makes me smile, you know, I carry. Even as of today, some of her letters in my purse, you'll find them, you know, in my Bible. Just, you know, nice keepsakes to have, you know, and it's something that you can use to relive that moment. It's something that you can utilize to brighten your day. You know, those things last, you know, as long as you keep them in a good place, you know, otherwise they'll get destroyed. But to have them accessible, you know, especially when the person is not there, is a beautiful thing, and there's nothing wrong with it.
All right. Lady Nicole, share your talents. That is a way to express gratitude.
You said share. Say that one more time.
Share your talents as a way of showing gratitude.
I think definitely for me, is in the things that I do. It might not always be in the words that I say, but certainly in what I do, trying to stay loyal, stay consistent, trying to be an example of treating people how I like them to treat me, showing love, trying to, you know, be kind. My husband and I walk typically every morning, and we see a lot of the same people, so we always speak. They speak. It's almost like unsaid family. They're like, hey, how y'all doing? You know, just because you see people daily, the same people. So I think, and just trying to smile, saying hello, spreading some love. And anytime I get eye contact with people, I'm always trying to smile and say hi. You know, maybe it's because I was, you know, I grew up a little bit in Texas, so that Southern hospitality, that's just in me, but definitely.
All right, all right. Ladies, you, as always, have done a fantastic job in just relaying God's examples of, you know, how to show gratitude. And before you go, I just want to express my gratitude now that we're at this, you know, gratitude moment to all of you that are on. I have, the rest of it, I still have Vivian, Lady Tamika, Lady Nicole, Elton, Artisha, Dennis, Shantice on the line. I have Pastor Charlene. I have everybody but my men this morning. But I will say that I give God thanks for each and every one of you. I could never show my level of gratitude the way my heart feels. That would express what my heart is actually feeling. I try my best to reach out to, you know, give you a call, to send you a note each week encouraging you to just continue to walk in God's ministry, doing the fantastic job that you've done. I have to say, I am proud to sit amongst you ladies of great wisdom, of great knowledge, of great love. Your example of gratitude is when you get on here each opportunity that you can and express God's love and his example of love, and just a level of wisdom that touches on a carnal as well as a spiritual level, to be surrounded by all of you. You know, it may be it's due time with Pastor Steph, but if not for the due time crew, Pastor Steph would be nothing. I say what I say and I do what I do, but I must say to each and every name that was called this morning just now, please know that I love you. I cherish you. There is no breathing without you all. I get up in the morning and I really look forward to the love that you are going to pour out each day, whether it's, you know, your humor, whether it's, you know, your passion, whether, again, it's your wisdom and knowledge, whatever it is you give out, your transparency, your former life stories, your experiences that are raw that you graciously give is phenomenal. And again, I would have never thought in a million years when God gave me the concept of it's due time with Pastor Steph that I was anywhere near this. I didn't have a due time crew when he first gave it to me, and he built this crew. And we have taken some shifts, and I'm okay with that because it's God's ministry. It's his work. It's who he wants on this platform. I could never call any of you and say, you know what, your time is over, unless God has given me that word. I didn't put you here, so I definitely could not take you here. To Lady Nicole, the most recent due time member,
It's a pleasure to have you. You just fell in and fit like a glove on a hand. And that's, you know, that's not easy to do in this world. You know, this has been a very gracious group where you all have not competed. You know, there's no competition here. You just give what you have. And it's done in a very gracious and loving manner. So please accept this, these words of love, these words of appreciation, these words that are just words that it just really does not express what my heart is feeling, what I think of you, the little that I do know of you. It elates my life, and it stimulates me. So I want to say thank you. Please have a blessed and wonderful day of Thanksgiving with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones, with strangers, however you choose to spend the day. You know, I pray that you will continue to be examples of what gratitude is all about. I love you. Enjoy. And I look forward to, you know, speaking to you, God spares, next week. I know a couple of you are going to hang out, which is why I'm talking now. We have Thursday and Friday off. You know, yes, it would be wonderful to be on. But you know what? Your workplaces have given you the days off and, you know, to make you get up. You know, rest. Just stay in the bed on Friday as much as you can. But hugs and kisses to you. And I pray you have a blessed rest of the week. I love you.
Thank you so much. Love you as well. And certainly appreciative of your tenacity and who you are. So thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you much. Thank you. All righty.
I appreciate you all.
Oh,
I just want to say, Pastor Steph, thank you so much for inviting me. And I want to say to all the ladies, thank you for welcoming me with open arms. It's so good to be a part of such powerful women and being able to just share thoughts on, you know, news and what we're doing. It's been definitely a balm to my spirit. It's definitely been something that I can appreciate and something that I'm glad that I can be a part of and be able to, you know, share goodness and receive it in return. So I appreciate you all, and I'm grateful for you all.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Have a blessed rest of your week as well. All righty. Well, we're at the point of the moment where we get our word for the day. And let's say good morning to our elder, Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph, and to all the ladies. And I'm grateful for you being in my life.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you kindly. Well, I'm going to twist up your, you know, your little faith over fear this morning, and I'm going to give you a point that I really thought would be great coming from you. And one of the ways that they suggest we show gratitude is to offer up words of encouragement. So I'll give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Fire away.
Yes, I want it for you to be selfless. And to be able to encourage others. A lot of times people have the habit of not wanting to help, you know, to be a help to someone else, to being able to encourage them in anything, you know, of saying something great about them, you know, your hair looks really nice, or, you know, that suit that you have on, you know, because jealousy will trigger and they think that it's taking something from them, which it's not. Because when you help someone else and encouraging someone else, you can be encouraged by that person as well. And when they're able to help you, you know, of something that you're lacking in, you know, because everybody in your circle, somebody's going to have a strong point in different areas, right? People that you're around, people within your household, your family members, your spouse, it doesn't matter who it is. And if you link together and being able to be on one accord with each other, you're able to lift that person up and teach. When somebody was talking about one of the words you had given, it was talking about of teaching. And I was thinking of that part of, don't be fearful of trying new things. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, I can't do that. And it's because of fear of, have you ever tried it? My mom used to always say, try vegetables. I'm not a vegetable person. I'm much better now, though. She would be so proud. But I wouldn't try the vegetables because how it looked, you know. And some things will taste better than what it looks like, right? So if we encourage each other, you know, in your health, like for myself or for someone else, you know, encouraging them, you know, you need to eat more vegetables. You need to try it this way. You might not like it that way. You might not like it fried, sauteed, right? So you might dislike it boiled, you know, or whatever the vegetable could be. And with that, it will put the nourishment in your body and will help you to feel better, help, you know, the insides of your working from the inside, working on the outside, right? So if you try that and then you're able to work on the outside, because we all have come in broken, right? So you're looking at it as something that is broken, as like a puzzle, and you're piecing it together. And where that you are encouraging, where you are helping, where you are able to teach, where you are able to show your talent, as that word was spoken as well, right? So where that you will have that person and say, wow, remember when I came in, I wasn't wearing makeup, I wasn't really doing my hair, I was dressing a certain kind of way, but look at how she looks today. You know, now she went into where that she's loving herself, that self, that from inside out, that's first, low self-esteem is going away. She is more encouraging. She is more taking care of her mind, because we're within your mind of the thoughts that you have about you and the thoughts that you have about people has changed, right? So therefore, if you're trusting in the Lord and allowing him to help lead you and guide you as well, then you'll be able to help someone else, right? Because encouragement comes in so many ways. You don't have to say words. Encouraging is you just being in the presence of somebody, right? And then they show you how to do certain things. And how many times do anybody can think of a person that was in their shell, right? Didn't speak, didn't barely say hello or nothing. And then once you came over and started talking to them, or, you know, and then started inviting them into, you know, let's just do lunch, you know, let's just go and talk. And they were good on one-on-one, and now they out-talk everybody else. You know, that's an encouragement of teaching someone as well. You have to be able to know how to deal with that particular person for them to come out. So don't be fearful of being able of not stepping out in something that you're uncomfortable with, right? Because you'll stay in a box. Come out. The God that we serve is not in a box. So why should we stay in the box? You know, he told us to let our light so shine. So if we're going to shine our light, you know, therefore we have to be able to go out there and help somebody that is covered under the darkness. That is being able to not know it, because the people out there in the world don't want to deal with them, but the people in the church don't want to deal with them. But where do you fit in? And you know that person, or you might not know that person. Every Friday, I deal with different people when they come because we feed the community. So I go and go sit and talk to that person who ain't talking to nobody, that person who is so sheltered. And they gear up a conversation. A lot of them don't even want to lift their heads up to look at me. By the time I finish, you know, me cracking a joke or whatever, you know, encouraging them, how can I help you? Come on, let's go over here and go shopping because we give away clothes as well. Come on, and I go with them. And they start, I say, oh, girl, this look good on you. Oh, girl, you should try this. And they'll take it. And then they'll come back and they say, oh, Pastor, look, I got on the thing that you gave me. How it look? And I always encourage them. I said, go in the bathroom. Try this on and watch how that look on you, you know. So encouraging them in different ways, you know, because we all have our faults of somewhere that we don't feel good about. But continue to lift them up, you know, and just be grateful and having that gratitude of helping somebody. Come out of self. Give them something that you might have. You might have a scarf on your neck. I've done that too, you know, and just give it to them. Jewelry, I've taken my jewelry off and give it to people because just to get that smile from them, just to get that hug, you know, of hugging them and letting them know that I'm here for you, I'm in the fight with you, you know, and being able to just to encourage them. So I thank you for my word of encouragement, but there's different ways that you can do it. Give them a little gift. Holidays are here. Just give them a little something. Give them a little something because they appreciate it. They appreciate it. A gift is a gift. You can give a gift any day, any time. It's not a certain time. But because of now people are looking for things. They are looking for something. And so be that person to give it to them. When you sit and have that conversation, you can know what's something that they like. You like to draw? You know, give them something to draw. They have adult coloring books. I love them. You know, take you back to your childhood. And one thing about it, it gives you that peace of mind and have that time just being able to woosah in that or crochet or knit, something that they might like. And then being able to sit and you know what? Let's just do it together. Today we want to make a pot holder. You know, and then next week, we, you know, bring back what you've done and, you know, just to encourage to lift them up. And there's so many, just be creative and being able to lift them up and come out of self. And I'm talking about us, come out of ourself and to be able to show, you know, and come out of that of they might not, you know, like it. They might not want to do it because we'll put a picture in our head first before we even try. So just try it and just trust God and let God lead you. Always have a conversation with the Lord and let him lead you in the way that you should be able to handle because everybody is different and you don't want nobody to lash back on you, but don't be pushy either. And that's another thing as church folks have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to push too much. Come right where they are, just like Jesus. He sat right there. He was with the sinners. Come on, y'all. We got to be able to do the same. And he knows what we like. He knows what we love. So have a conversation about that particular person. And, Lord, how can I get through to them so they can see the God in me that will be able to help them, to help me become a better person? Because that's what it's about. When we help somebody else, it'll be able to help us to become a better person. And they'll be able to go on of what they have gotten from you to teach it to someone else. And that's how we'll be able to pull in the people and to be able to know that God is real. And that's all we have Amen. To do. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for those words of encouragement. And we pray you have a blessed rest of the week. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You do the same. I hope you get some rest, not love you.
Love you too. Don't look like it. Don't look like it, girl. Doesn't look like it. Let's get that benediction. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth
and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:17-19. I want to say to the listeners, thank you so much. Thank you so much for loving Pastor Steph. Thank you so much for loving the Geek Time crew. Thank you so much for your encouragement. You know, watching the listens from day to day, seeing the numbers that come up on a regular basis, really serves as an encouragement. You know, when God calls on you to do something, you don't always have that confidence. But you have just poured into me just by your support. And that's your way of showing your gratitude to God for what he's given you in this morning broadcast. So keep doing what you do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because it only serves as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew. The ladies always hold it down so beautifully. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us all week. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now or strengthen that relationship with God right now, because later is not promised to us. Again, we will be off for the rest of the week, including Sunday, and I will be resuming the broadcast, God spares, on Monday morning. And I pray that you eat healthy, you share, you love, you show your gratitude, you do what you're supposed to do. And just want to share this moment with you. You know, just let's chill and let's just listen to some music together and just, you know, kind of fade away. This is my way of showing that I love you. You know, we can't share the Thanksgiving Day together. So let's just bask in this music. You know, walk around the house, listen with Pastor Steph. You know, think about the joys of the Lord along with Pastor Steph. Hold hands and hold heart along with Pastor Steph until the end of this broadcast. Please know that I love you. You are the every beat of my heart. I enjoy you so much. And I pray that God would be with you, that you would have a safe and wonderful extended weekend.